Okay, I want to just touch base on what we did this morning. When you get a verdict from a court in heaven, the verdict is no use whatsoever unless you use it. So there's been a verdict that enables you to remove division from your life, from the circle around you, from all the seven spheres of government that you have for your own life. Any corporate things you have the verdict to remove division. So make sure when you take this back and you use this verdict, that you make sure there's no division in your own life first. It has to start in Jerusalem, in you, then Judea around you, then Samaria, so it can go wider, and then all around the spheres that you have authority, whether they be areas, cities, states, nations. It has to start with you. So make sure that you use the authority to remove any division in your life. And the way you view anything around you, again, no division. Now that might be a challenge. So be prepared for the challenge, because the verdict will challenge your preconceived ideas of what you think division means and what it means in you and around you. So use the verdict, take that verdict and outwork it. That won't mean everything will change in an instant, but you have now the authority to see change take place. When you use that authority and you direct that authority, so that authority can be outworked through your lives, because you're a gateway of heaven into the earth. And whatever you do, in every situation, all the legislative things we're talking about, you must do it on the other side of them.
Yes.
Whatever God shows you here, and sometimes we pick up the things here in this realm because we're sensitive to the things that are actually in this realm. But when you want to deal with them, you need to go into the higher realm to deal with them. Otherwise, you're underneath them, and if you're under them, you won't change anything. And so don't go to and fro trying to change everything. From your throne, order things around your life using the authority that we've been given and a verdict for all the things. So everything that you see is injustice as a basis of division. You can actually begin to take authority over and to begin government to change it. Okay? Now, I want to teach some stuff for a few minutes, and then, because I want you to be aware of some of the things you're going to need to learn to do when you start to tackle things which are going to change nations. Because there's a lot more to government than just the basic court system that we've been showing. Now that seems, I know some of you, that's new, but there's more above that, which I'm going to share, because if I don't share it, then you won't know about it when you need to know about it. And you can always refer back to this and use this to enable you to operate in a greater dimension. When we're talking about scrolls being given out and authority given out, you know, some people have had scrolls for different things, magistrates, judges, different areas, chancellors, those give you authority in different realms of heaven. We are maturing in authority, going from kingship, lordship, kingship, sonship. So there will be things that you will be able to access in the future that you might not be able to access now. But if I can show you how to do it and what to do and how to base it, then later on when you need to do it, you will be able to at least refer to it. So I'm talking about aligning the circle of the deep. Now, I put this out when I said we were going to do some of this today. Now, the circle of the deep is the alignment of the 12 chancellors' house in the realm of two, and they're represented by the star systems, the Maseroth, from a Hebrew perspective. Now, I'm not talking about physical stars, but I'm talking about governmental aspects which are represented by the movement of those stars, because they move, they don't stay in the same place. So there's an alignment that needs to take place with the 12 high chancellors' houses, so that there can be a convergence of what was, God's eternal heart, into what is, when we stand in what is in the realm of heaven, so what will be can be worked out. Now, often we continually try and make something happen, trying to create what will be, without ever having established in what was before, then it goes into what is. So what was is God's heart in eternity. It is still his heart in eternity. And you can engage it to know the heart behind everything you need to do when we're being legislative and governmental. Because it can be very, in a sense, seem very formulaic. and a relationship behind it. Now, I'm not talking about relationship today. I talked a lot about that in the conference. Everything we do governmentally, if it does not come out of relationship, will come out of the wrong heart. It will come out of our heart. The more we spend time in relationship, our heart and God's heart will be aligned so that it flows. As the desires of his heart become the desires of our heart, we begin to outwork it in the right way. So everything must come from a relational background and a relational relationship. It's all a relationship. So that will lead to responsibility. So today we're taking responsibility as sons. We're taking responsibility for our own lives because we're willing to be judged in identification for the nation. We're identifying with the nation, our different spheres we may have authority in within the nation, different regions that we're from, to take responsibility for establishing the kingdom in heaven so it can be outworked on earth. So there is the need to understand how to engage what was, to then establish it in what is by decreeing, declaring, court cases, getting judgments, having verdicts, having authority, and then walking it out. We're not doing something here which is purely heavenly and has no earthly outworking. If you don't have an earthly outworking, then there isn't an awful lot of point. Everything you do in heaven is so heaven can be established on earth. Some of you who have cities of refuge, embassies, scrolls for that, ecclesia, you will physically do things on the earth. If we're going to see the kingdom of God fill the earth, it will fill the earth one person at a time. Because as you allow the rivers of living water to flow through you and go out and expand your boundaries, no ever increasing kingdom and government and peace, then you'll start to see change. Now, when you come together in agreement with a blueprint, then corporately as living stones, it's an exponential increase because one can put 1,000 and 2 10,000. So when you come together with one person, which is an arc of agreement, all of a sudden you have 10 times more authority you have in your own. So when you come together as a bench of three, you have 100 times more authority as your own. When you come together to open a window, you have 1,000 times more authority than you had on your own, and it increases. So God wants us to work together, and as we do that, we will begin to expand. Now, when you look at the atmosphere and the things we live under and the culture we live under, a lot of people try and pull down principalities and powers. Well, I wouldn't want to pull those things down on the earth. It's like, I don't want them down here. I also don't want them up there. But they're not just going to disappear. What happens will be when we have authority to establish heaven on earth, we will clear the atmosphere over that sphere of authority. And then you open the everlasting doors to see the glory of God poured out into that sphere of authority. God adds to that sphere and we'll see a harvest coming to that storehouse, then that will be an increase exponentially of the expansion, which will clear the atmosphere further and further. Now, you do not need to go into the atmosphere to clear it. You go above the atmosphere and you send the angels into the atmosphere to clear it, because it's their role to establish government there under our authority. So principalities, powers and rulers, it's just what's sitting on those three thrones is the problem, because they're fallen angels that are sitting on those thrones rather than correct angels, godly angels. So what we have to do is learn to engage those angels, and then we will see them engage the atmosphere, and then they will take their positions of thrones and they will establish a bench of three in the atmosphere over our spheres of government. Then things will expand. So don't try and just force things. You have to establish things in order. So first of all, we need those embassies of heaven on earth. We need those ecclesias who have a heavenly blueprint and a mandate to establish it. So when we're looking at what I'm doing now, this is what allows those things to take place. Because you start to look in God's heart. If you were to look into God's heart in eternity for America, what would you see? If you don't know what you would see, how can you order that? Yeah. How can you stand in what is in the four faces of God and call kingly order, prophetic oracles, those things are? So it's so important to get it from the heart of God so that what you administrate comes from that heart. It's going to be a new season and a new day, a third day. You know, we've had the first day and the second day. or right at the end of it, depending on your view, we need to go into a third day. That will be a new day, a whole different dimension. But we have to be prepared to go into that day. These are the 12 chancellor's houses. Now, I'm not going to... The first name is the name of the High Chancellor. Now, I'm not going to go through them, because I can't pronounce that for them. But I have talked to them all. It's really embarrassing when you talk to an angel or a chancellor and you can't remember their name. So I sort of found a way of getting around it. So I address them in their role rather than their personal name. Anyway, so there's the precepts house. There's the statutes house. There's the law house. There's the ordinance house. The mantle house. The weapons house. Oh, sorry. Did you not get that? You'll get access to these PDFs, so it's okay. Everyone got a picture? Okay. The house, scroll house, the discovery house, the commissioning house, the culture house, the affairs of the nation's house, and the treasury house. Now, we're very familiar with the high chancellor of the treasury house because it's Melchizedek. But all of the others have a role to play in what we do to release the resources of heaven and to bring things into alignment. I'll leave that one up there a few seconds just in case you want to take a picture of it. Now, when I received a chancellor's seal and I went to the court of the councils of the fathers, I was given authority to go to these houses. And wisdom took me to each of the houses. And I found I'd been to a couple of them before, particularly the Affairs of the Nation's House. I'd been to that several times, and the Discovery House. But I didn't understand any of this. And this was probably 2.5 years ago. So it basically took me, well, 3 years ago now, it took me about 18 months to go through all the houses, get over my, what is all this? Because I'm just like you, I have no clue when it comes to first engaging things. But I don't give up, I just go back. And I journal everything, and then I meditate in the journals, and then revelation comes from what I'm meditating in to bring me understanding. So I go into the precepts house, and I'm like, I can't even describe fully what it is that I'm experiencing. But there's a connection between there and eternity, because the precepts of God are eternal. So there are four windows in that house that opened up into eternity. Now, I don't understand all that fully, but I understand what the precepts of God are, because God explained them to me so I could tell you. And I explained them before when we looked at court cases. So eventually I went through all the houses, and I went back until I understood how they worked, because I knew these weren't just they weren't independent. They worked together. There was an order to it, because in heaven, everything's ordered. And it's ordered upon dimensional connections and governmental interactions. So what I found was that there were four seasons, and these correspond to the four seasons of the quarter 70, which is judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. And there are four seasons that have three houses, so that's government. So each season has government in it. When those three houses are in alignment, when there's only one house in alignment, there is a government. When there are two houses in alignment, which is what was and what is, what was and what is, there is then an arc which can bring what will be. So without the two, what was and what is, you can never get what will be in alignment with what was, which is God's heart. So we're always trying to work out what will be without ever having aligned what was and what is. Or we might go into what is and try and outwork it without knowing what it was. Now, when I say what it was, I'm not saying in the past, I'm saying what was before there anything was, which is eternity. So each of those four seasons has three houses: precepts, statutes, and laws. Those are the first three that need to be aligned. So the precepts is what was, the statutes is what is, and the laws is how those two things work together and at work in practice. Then you have the ordinances and the mantles and the weapons. Those things need to be in alignment. And then you have the scrolls and the discovery and the commissioning and culture, affairs of the nation's treasury. Now, some of those things are what you think they might be, but not in the way you understand. So there are mantles, and those mantles are mantles of authority, like Elijah's mantle that was passed to Elisha, like Jesus' mantle when he went up into heaven like Elijah did and left his mantle on the earth for people to pick up. Anyone picked up Jesus' mantle? Yeah, one or two? Not many, but he left it there. Because the precedent that Elijah set when he went back into heaven in a cloud and he left his mantle to be picked up with a double portion that came with it, Jesus went back and left the mantle. And it's available for us to pick up. Some of these things are very different. Like the weapons house, you know, I thought I was going into weapons house to find swords and stuff, you know, spears and arrows and stuff. I mean, he didn't like that. What was in there was like love bombs. I mean, so that's how I can describe them. They were just being prepared in there like atomic bombs, which are going to drop love onto the earth. And those things will come through the everlasting doors to create within the environments we set within Ecclesias, the power of God's love to change everything and to draw people to his love. And we're going to see an explosion of love bombs on the earth, but only in places that are ready. Because if you don't open up the everlasting doors, there's nothing for those love bombs to come through. And if you don't clear the atmosphere so the everlasting doors can be open, there's nothing for them to come through. So there's things here we have to prepare. Now, there are certain things in here which are multi-dimensional and multi-age. So there are mantles in there for this age, and there are mantles in there for the ages to come. And so we can't touch the mantles for the ages to come yet, because we're not in the age to come, but they're there for us. So when we learn to get the mantles that God gives us, the cloaks of authority, to bring kingdom in this age, he will invest us with those new mantles in the ages to come. And what you do with them in this age will determine what you get in the next age, because Jesus taught that, you know, with the talents. So those of you who've got some talents with mantles, use them. Because if you don't use them, there's a danger that you won't get the next ones. So make sure you outwork your destiny here. There's a discovery house, and once they move up, at the moment, basically seven of those houses are open in alignment because I've aligned them for specifically the Joshua generation. They need to be aligned for lots of other things, and that's not my responsibility. So I'm only going to do what I'm called to do. But there are seven of those houses open up to the scroll house. The discovery house is a whole different ball game, because once you establish what the scrolls release you to do, the mandates, the blueprints for things on earth, there are discoveries, the mysteries hidden in darkness that have never ever been seen on the earth, which you will need to fulfill God's purpose on earth as an embassy heaven when things are not the same here on earth. It's like things aren't going to stay the same. There is shaking coming, as it says in Hebrews 12, yet once more will I shake the earth and the heavens. Now, that yet once more happened in the past several times, and it's going to happen again. And when that shaking comes, everything that can be shaken, which is everything which is man-made, will be shaken. So all of your seven mountains that people are going around trying to redeem are coming down. So don't even bother trying redeeming them. They're unredeemable because they're man-made. Yeah. Part of the problem is prophetic people pick up prophetic revelation from heaven and interpret it through their preconceived ideas. And it happens all the time. And the seven mountains, which are seven mountains, we have seven mountains, every ecclesia has seven mountains, everything has seven, because it's a complete number of authority, is not what is being taught. Because the principle was correct, it was just interpreted through the wrong interpretation. So don't go around trying to redeem something, because the mountain of the house of the Lord, which is what we are becoming when we take authority, will be lifted up above every other mountain. And those mountains are described as hills. in comparison to the mountain house of the Lord. Arise, shine, your light has come. The whole thing is, when we're in the right place, then everything under that, the authority of it will be shaken, and the shaking of it will put people in the world, they'll look at all the things they put their trust in outside of God, and they will collapse. Nothing that people look to outside of God will provide any solutions anymore. So when that happens, we've got to be ready to offer the right solution, which is the kingdom, the mountain, the house of the Lord, and the heavenly government, so that people will come. And it says that they will come streaming to the mountain, house of the Lord, which has been lifted up into a position of authority. And as they stream to it, they'll be asking, teach us. Tell us how you can live in health when everyone's sick. Tell us how you don't have a problem with power when all the grids have failed. Tell us how you don't have a problem with water because we haven't got any water. Tell us how you haven't got any problem with food because you've got all the food. Now, I'm not saying that those things will just be natural. Some of them may be, but we have access to the aquifers of the deep because we have a precedent that they've been opened before. So we can open up water sources. There's more water under the earth than there is on the earth. Okay? So there's all sorts of things that when we get to the place where we are lifted up in that level of authority, we will need to know. So there are discoveries in that discovery house, which are at the moment mysteries in darkness, which are for this age and for the ages to come. And some of the things in there are power sources, which will not be grid-based. And there will be organic, not technological. And I've seen them, and I can't describe them because I've got no grid of reference for it. But I know it's organic. And I know it's something to do with how it reacts to us as sons of God. Because as sons of God, the whole created order responds to us. And it will respond to sonship and release to us its bounty and its wealth. And there are things that come out of heaven and out of that discoveries, which we've not yet seen, but we will need. So we're going to need people to be able to go in there and bring those things out. Now, they may come as what people say were inventions, but I think it's going to be inventions with things that have never been seen, not just different things that we've already seen. You know, so there's a lot more to come. And ultimately, we will then begin to change culture. And the affairs of the nations will be aligned to bring all the families of the earth the blessing of Abraham and the blessing of God, so that we can then see the full resources of heaven for this age released from the treasury room. I don't know how many of you have been to the treasury room. A minor few of you. Well, you all need to learn how to go. Because in there, there's a room that has all the resources that you need for everything you need to do to fulfill your destiny and need access to it. Because that's where the spiritual blessings are, in the heavenly realms, and some of them are in that place. And you need to engage with Melchizedek, because we are now the order of Melchizedek, according to that order, which is a governmental heavenly priesthood. So we need to learn how to align these things. So my encounters, you know, I still can't describe everything very well, but I do know how they work. So this is how they work, because they're not static. They are alignable. So what happens is each season functions when there are four houses in alignment. The three of government, which opens the next house of the next three to form a window. So three is government, four is a window. So the first three are aligned and then the next one opens up. And then that allows the next one to be aligned. So you have precepts, statutes and law, the first three, opens up the ordinances of heaven. Now, the ordinances of heaven is a fantastic place to go because it's full of all the resources we need in heavenly things, not earthly resources, heavenly resources, when you can move around all the angelic legions and the angelic orders and you can see all those things established so that then things can begin to outwork in a way you've never seen before. So then you have the next set, ordinances, mantles, and weapons. Then that opens the scrolls. And that's where we are right now. We're at a place where they are open. And the scrolls are now available for the Joshua generation to receive their mandates and blueprints to establish things on the earth. And we need to get there. You know, I took a few groups and we went and just sort of scouted out some of those things. but actually is something everyone needs to be able to access now to get these mantles and things from heaven. We have the scrolls, discovery and commissioning, which then will open the window for culture. Because there is going to be a whole new commissioning that takes place within the church, not the religious institution, but people gathered, that is going to put them in places of heavenly authority way beyond anything is happening at the moment. Because that will then mean we can deal with the atmosphere. You know, we're not going to deal with the atmosphere until we're in the correct positions of authority. Then we can start to deal with the culture, and it will start to change. Because the culture is there because of the atmosphere that covers it. When we deal with the culture, the atmosphere, the culture will change. We won't have to go around trying to change things on the earth. People will change because they will embrace the culture of heaven, not earth. So things will change. And then you have culture, affairs of the nations and treasury, and then precepts. Because the end must meet the beginning. So precepts and precepts will bring the end and the beginning together. So everything comes back in accordance with God's heart. So God's heart in the beginning will be God's heart in the end. And then when all this is complete, fully, we will go into the next age, because that age is the ages to come. Now, there's a lot that needs aligning just the Joshua generation, because then it will be need to align for the next generation and the next. But we need to learn how to do it. And there are those of you I know here called in chancellorship. You've either received or will receive chancellor's seals and staff, and you will have access to do some of these things. So I'm just throwing out there now so that you can get it in your heart, so that when you need it, you'll find it. So when I engaged this, I encountered what's called sacred geometry. Has anyone engaged Metatron's cube? A very few of you. Okay. Metatron's cube is a weird geometric shape, which is a reflection. Metatron is the keykeeper and the timekeeper of heaven. One of the chief angel of the order of the Kael, the living creatures. He gives you keys. I've had keys. The reason heaven opens sometimes when I do activations, because I was given a key to open it by Metatron. And he's given me other keys. Now, it's a very sort of sense of mathematical nature where God's laws are revealed and where interdimensional government is seen. And some of you might recognize some of it when you see it, even though you don't recognize the name. Because the first time I came across this, I had an encounter where I was inside this sapphire cube, and all I could see were these facets, you know, like a diamond cut or whatever, a gem. I'm inside of it. And I'm just wondering, where am I? And every facet I looked like was a reflection of something of God's image. So I'm in this place, you know. So in here, you find where alignment comes place, so the end and the beginning meet. And you get all this stuff. And that is what this shape looks like for Metatron's cube and the alignment of the different houses. And that's just part of it. Because when you see the bigger picture of it, you'll see this within it. And there's more dimensionally around it. So essentially, each of those spaces is three, and then the next for the fourth. And each of those spheres are interconnecting points of governmental authority in the realms of heaven. So that's what the Metatron's cube looks like as a diagram. And if you look at it, some of you will see a square or a cube. Some of you will see the Star of David. Some of you will see all sorts of different shapes. Some of you will look into it. Some of you will see things coming out of it. Because we all see things from a perspective that we connect with. So for me, I always see the cubes. You know, that's what I see first. You know, but then I've learned to see all the other shapes because I've identified them. Now you can see it from another sort of perspective when you can see it in sort of their colors, and this is dimensional. You know, it's not a flat shape, it's a dimensional shape. And all those circles are intersections of government. Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, what's he on about? But actually, this is out there. You know, New Age people are engaging in this stuff. They're trying to use this illegitimately because we've abrogated our responsibility to engage the dimensions. So we need to get it back. We need to actually start to realize God's given us authority in the heavens and in the dimensions. And there are many more dimensions than most people think. So then when you look at this from this perspective, you have precepts, statutes, laws in alignment, what was, what is, what will be, and then ordinances open up in the window. So that is looking out. Then the ordinances are the next four. So you have that. We're looking at a face, but think of it as coming outwards as a dimensional shape. And then you have those open the scrolls, and then scrolls become the next start of the next three, and then that goes around and around until you get precepts meeting precepts. And then you've completed the circle of the deep. Now, the last circle of the deep took 25,000 years to complete. Now what God is saying is, now suns have arisen. Time is not subject to us. Seasons are not subject. They are subject to us. Sorry. We are not subject to them. They are subject to us. So we don't have to wait for the rising of the house of Aquarius. Remember that one in the 60s? No. Some of you look like hippies, I'm sure. But we don't have to wait for 2,000 years or so for it to rise. We align this stuff. And God will give you access to these houses to align things specifically for the authority that you've been given. My authority as an ambassador for the Joshua generation is to do this for that. And the court case that I was able to do, after I understood how these things worked, actually then created judgment, which now releases justice and will release grace and mercy. But all those things need to be aligned for everything. See, I can't see more than I can see, because I'm not supposed to see anymore, because that's my mandate. I don't see. And all of you will see things that other people don't see. When you see them and you know you're called to them, then you need to know what to do with them. Otherwise, you'll see it and you'll just give up. So when you come into these positions of maturity, now it hasn't taken me that long in the grand scheme of things of my whole Christian life, which goes back to 1970, which is a long time ago. Let me work out how many years that is. 46 or whatever years. In the last 6 years, I've learned everything I'm sharing with you on this journey, and all the stuff I've shared and all the places I've been, I've learned in the last 6 years. Now, everything of the previous 15, 20 years was leading up to that point. So I learned how to hear in the spirit. I learned how to see in the spirit. I learned how to engage in the spirit. I learned how to go into heaven, because that was my journey that took me up, then discovering I knew nothing. Seriously. Once I got to that point, everything I thought I knew, basically I had to throw out, because I knew nothing. And I know some of you are in the same place. You know. And now I get, having 5-6 years into it, and all the things I do know, I realize I know nothing compared with what there is to know. Because we're talking about ages to come, and we're talking about dimensions to engage in. And recently, I have engagements with Enoch. And I engage Enoch in the waterfall in heaven, and there's a cave halfway up that waterfall that I go into. And one day I was just floating up the waterfall, minding my own business, and this hand comes and pulls me in to this cave. And I get pulled into this cave, and I'm in there looking, where is this? Never knew this existed. And there's this guy sat at this table, and he basically said, I have a quest for you. Now, I like things like Lord of the Rings and things like that, so, a quest? Well, I'm going on a quest. You know, who's the Fellowship of the Ring who's going to prove me? Well, there weren't anybody. Fine. And it was a challenging quest, I'll tell you, because I didn't understand the nature of it. And then when I did, I realized how difficult it was going to be. And for this quest, I was given a sword. Now, I've been given a sword 3 or 4 times in my life. The first time I was given a sword, I shook for 3 days because I didn't want to take it. Because when you're given a sword, you have the authority to draw a line for judgment. Now, I didn't want that, because I know when you draw a line for judgment, everyone doesn't like the messenger who draws a line. So I'm not signed up for that. So I went to a conference with Bill Johnson and Jill Austin when she was alive. When she was here, she's still alive. She still operates and active, and she's one of the Cladowinses who's quite active. And every time Bill Johnson spoke, and oh yes, great, she spoke, every time she opened her mouth, and I shook. And it's so embarrassing when no one else is shaking, and you can't stop, and you're being shaken like a rag doll. And I'm not very extrovert in reality. I'm quite shy, personality-wise. So I couldn't stop shaking. And it was like, what was going on? And I kept finding myself with my hands out in front, like this, shaking. And then it was like, and then my eyes were open, and there was this big fiery sword right in front of me. And as immediately I saw it, it was just like my whole soul was like, don't take that sword. Don't take it. And literally, I 3 days, you know, and I resisted for 3 days. And in the end, I was so fed up with being shaken around, I gave up and said, I'll take the sword. So I took the sword and I thought, nothing happened. Nothing, like I stopped shaking. That was good. But it wasn't like it happened. But then in my spirit, I suddenly started making decrees and doing things and started teaching things that upset everybody. And not because I was trying to upset anybody, just because I had the authority of the sword to draw a line. Cross over it. So all of a sudden, I became much more challenging in my sharing of things. You know, I wasn't doing it in any sort of nasty way. So I know what it's like when you are given things and you have to have the authority to do things. And God has given us authority in these realms to begin to change things. So I want to encourage you to be open to receive whatever you need in this day. Don't resist, you know, because God might shake your hand, you know, because He wants to give you stuff. The scroll room is open. It's releasing its scrolls to the Joshua generation because it's now in alignment. Now, when you look at this from the top, you see lion, ox, eagle, man, which is the thing on the top shape. And underneath, you see priest, apostle, king, prophet, because that's the heavenly, the earthly outworking of the heavenly lion, ox, eagle, man. So it's bringing heaven to earth in the alignment of the four faces and everything else. So there's quite a lot that goes with it, you know. And God ultimately wants man, Father, Son, Spirit, and man to be full governmental agreement of the 12 stones and the 12 foundations and the 12 everythings. So He wants us to come into governmental agreement. So when you look at the Metacons cube, basically it has all these different shapes within it. Tetrahedron, hexahedron, octahedron, iso, whatever that says, and dodecahedron within it. And they're all dimensional things in heaven because God's a mathematician. And He has arranged everything in terms of quantum, physically, and everything else in a very ordered way. And He wants us to engage, to understand how we align things to get things to happen. You don't just pray and ask, God, will you do it, please? You know, it works when you're a baby. It doesn't work when you're mature and as an adult. And He wants to say, I want you to learn how to align heaven and earth. Well, when you look at it dimensionally, it looks a bit like that. You know, and each one of those circles, you have access to go into. And I've been into a few of them, and it completely wrecked my understanding of everything. Everything I thought I knew, I realized I didn't know from that dimension, because I tried to take this dimension into that dimension and understand it. Not a chance. And the only way I got any understanding was when God one day said, let's go for a walk. Because the next time, or three times later, when I met Enoch, He gave me another quest. And He said, you must go beyond, beyond. What does that mean? Well, I didn't know what it meant, and He didn't tell you. Meditate on beyond, beyond. Then I'm engaging the Father, and then I realized, so I asked Him, where is beyond? Well, He said, where's the last place you've been? Oh, I went to the last place on the journey flowing with the river of life. Oh, it's the throne of grace. Okay, well, what's beyond that? Oh, I don't know. I've never been there. Because I never want to go beyond the throne of grace, because I just love being on God's lap and my head on His chest Well, I said before, you know, I make things up, needs just to go there. Because he knows how much I love being close to him in intimacy with the Father. You know, because I wasn't fathered, you know, as a child, or until, you know, I had all my father wounds and got back to zero from minus 100 on the fathering scale. I never knew what it was to be a father or have a father in reality, even though I had children. You know, it's like without the Father, you can't be a father. And so God took me into that place, and so I love being close to the Father on his lap in there. So then it was like, okay, so next time I went there, I went through that and followed the river, and I went beyond. And he took me up to these three, all I can describe is, you know, you go to some big hotels and they have these sort of revolving doors, you know, things that you can step in and you go around and you step out the other side. Well, it was like that, and there were slits of light. And it's like, I stood outside there, knowing my quest was to go beyond, beyond, because now I'd gone beyond, now I had to go beyond, beyond. And it's weird stuff. You know, I got to be honest with you, I'm not really that weird, but maybe I am. But I stood there for 6 months, just looking. I wonder what's beyond. But I didn't have the courage to go, honestly, I didn't have the courage to step through. And then when I did step through, I wish I hadn't. Because I stepped through this light slip into a dimension which I have no grid of reference for at all. And I'm there, I'm so confused. Oh, well, why do you send me here? And so eventually, as I come out of it, and eventually, recently, God said, and he's been saying to me for the last 6 months, let's go for a walk. Come and walk with me. And everywhere I walked with the Father, my understanding that I thought I knew was completely changed. And he took me deeper and deeper and deeper to every place I'd ever been before in the realms of heaven. And when I went there, it's like I'd never been there before. Because when you walk with him, he unveils understanding that you can't have on your own. And what I actually discovered was the majority of things he'd let me walk there on my own to be able to engage in the level of understanding that I could and function in it. And now he was saying, you have to go beyond, beyond. And eventually he walked me through into that dimension and everything changed. Now I know this might sound a bit strange, but God is wanting to take you deeper. You know, deep is calling to deep. You know, and he's calling to you to come into your sonship. And this realm, but there's a world more to come. And some of these things are just some of the more things there are to come. But when we engage in what we do, and that's the first thing I went in as a Metatron student, that's how I recognized it. It was just like, whoa, I remember being in here. Because when Moses received the, what we think are tablets, he received a sapphire cube. That's what two of them, in fact. And in that sapphire cube would have been everything we needed to know to do everything we need to do. And yet they were smashed because of people's desire to go follow something else. No, well, God is restoring access to that now, which is why Moses is really keen and being involved in what we're doing. So when I started to access this, you know, I stepping in there, and all, it's all about God. I mean, for me, it's just everything's about God. It's everything about him. And I just see, I'm looking in, just seeing more and more and understanding more and more and recognizing I don't understand so much more. But there's more to come in this. And he wants us to understand how we're to gauge this in the things that we have in our own life. Now, before any of this came about, we were engaging as a bench of 12 at home, and we would just said, well, sometimes we just say, hey, let's just step in, see what God wants to show us. You know, we sort of forget all the governmental stuff. Say, hey, let's just explore tonight and see what God does. So we all stepped in, and we were having an interesting time from what happened. And it's like, I saw this Metatron tube shape, one aspect of it, before I knew any of this. And we're looking, I think, wow, this is weird. What is that? And then so it came out of the thing, and most of the people were silent. They didn't want to say anything. I said, well, what do you see? They're all, I'm not telling you what I saw. It's all too weird. So then I managed to drag out of them. So they all saw different aspects of this cube thing, Metatron's cube. So I know this is something God wants to reveal because he did it to 7 or 8 people at one time. And it was like, okay, we need to find out about this. So, you know, I set the desires of my heart on things like that. When God shows me something, I set the desires of my heart on it. And when I set the desires of my heart on it, I cultivate desire, and that cultivation of desire opens up that realm for me to go into, which is why I've done this and all the other people at that night haven't done it, because they didn't cultivate the desire. They just thought, oh, this is a bit weird. You know, we'll find out what it is, but none of them stepped into it like I had. So whenever God shows you, don't dismiss it or think of it lightly, because it could take you into a whole new dimension of your life. I mean, you know, we've been talking a lot about courts today. I mean, 5 years ago, probably no one knew about the courts. You know, and in 5 years, it's something which is spreading all over the world. You know, and hopefully some of you are spreading it, because we need to understand how to legislate in heaven. So you have this whole thing with different dimensions, and you'll see the tree of life in there, because the way of life accesses the tree of life back into eternity. So that little shape on the right-hand side, which is three things long, is called the tree of life shape. And you'll see the seed of life, and you'll see the flower of life, and they're all geometric patterns which people have drawn, people are engaged in, and they all operate on the golden mean phi. And they all operate with Fibonacci number sequences, which is what the tree of life functions in. Now you might think, well, what's the point of all that? Well, if God understands how things function, we need to understand also, if we're going to govern like he is, because we're his sons, because we're co-heirs in the kingdom. If you don't know how the kingdom functions, how are you going to use it? So God said this, son, call for the alignment of the circle as an ambassador, call for the ambassadors to come forth and take their places. God is looking for ambassadors. Ambassadors heaven to live on the earth. An ambassador operates from one country and lives in another country with the power and authority of the country that sent him. God is wanting to send ambassadors. Son, wisdom is waiting to equip kings, princes, rulers, and nobles to take their places. And I said, well, Father, who are they? And I want to know, well, who are they? Well, I'm looking at some of them, hopefully. In fact, probably looking at all of them in this room, because you're all called to be one of those. In whatever roles they are, it's authority and government. And it says, son, they're the ones who will firewalk with me into oneness. So if you want to be in a position of government authority, you've got to be willing to firewalk. Now, firewalking will not kill you. Well, it might kill the flesh. But it will bring you into a position of being refined and purified and aligned and brought into oneness. Not fragmented, separated, soul and spirit continually wrestling against one another. Firewalking will take you through a process which will untether you from being limited to the soul. And then you can be operating in dual realms and then multidimensional realms in the things that people are learning to do in these days. So the convergence of time and eternity of what was is to create and release the reality of what will be. We're in that time. This is that Kairos moment where God is calling us to come and align something. So this is, I'm just sharing you what God said. Son, this is my desire for Kearney, or Kearney, sorry. Open up the timeline to bring restoration and realign what was, what is, to form governmental relationships that will release what will be. So I'm really looking for governmental relationships to establish here, with you and God, and with you and each other. Call for the Joshua generation to take their positions in sonship, and prepare to arise, shine as the light for the next generation. Because if you're not going to shine as a light for the next generation, they're not going to come. Because we have to arise and shine. And it says, who will come to the brightness of your rising? Kings of the earth. So when we start to arise, we will draw kings of the next generation. Release your law of Jubilee, the freedom for the captives to come out of the religious slavery of the wilderness into the glory of the freedom of the sons of God. Call my children to come to maturity, to take charge of the mountain of the house of the Lord, and take their places in charge of the courts of heaven, in the heavenlies. So I'm gonna release that law of Jubilee. I shared it before, but I want to release it now. And I want you to take it on board and take the authority that it gives you to act. All I'm doing is releasing words, but I'm gonna do it from the realm of heaven, because that's where I'm seated on my throne. So I can speak it here, but I'm there. So it's coming into this realm from that realm. So it's operating in the realm of heaven. But you need to use it and say, this belongs to you, because this is for the Joshua generation. You can then use it to bring freedom to the captives who are, should be the Joshua generation and are yet to come across the Jordan through the veil into the realm of heaven. And you can then, we'll be able to use it then to take that further. So I'm gonna call this out. You are authorized on behalf of the Joshua generation to release freedom captives. Now, that was speaking to me, but take it speaking to you.
Yeah.
Because if you recognize that you're part of the Joshua generation, take it for you. You are authorized to decree a light that will penetrate the darkness of the religious coverings of men. You are authorized to break the yokes and destroy the heavy burdens placed on my people by the old order.
Yes.
You are authorized to call for the removal of the restrictions and the limitations placed on my people by the taskmasters of the old order.
Yes.
So really take this on board, because God's going to hold you accountable for doing this. You're authorized to release the ordinances of heaven, that's the legions of heavenly host, to take their positions in readiness for engagement with the atmosphere. You're authorized to administrate for the establishing of heavenly positions of sonship. Because you need to call sons out of the wilderness to their sonship. You're authorized to call for the sons of God to be seated in the heavenly places.
Yes.
Well, guess what? You've got to cross to be seated in heavenly places. The veil. You have to cross the figurative Jordan out of the wilderness into the promised land. Because that's the promised land of your spiritual and physical inheritance. You're authorized to release the scrolls and the mandates prepared and ready for a new generation to come forth out of the wilderness.
Yes.
If you're forerunners and you've received scrolls, you have a testimony that you can use to then call others and release those scrolls for them. I call you to release lightning bolts from heaven and the sound of my glorified voice in fire to those who are oppressed and heavy weighed down under the weights of the laws and bondage of the old structures. Because it's going to take lightning bolts to penetrate those coverings.
Yes.
Because those lightning bolts will penetrate the covering, allow a glimpse of light, and people will suddenly see something they've never seen before and say, I'm out of here. You are authorized to administrate the end of the religious slavery imposed to serve another's vision. You are authorized to call for destiny, to call those out of the wilderness to cross into their inheritance.
Yes.
You are authorized to call for the restoration of the heritage and inheritance.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of things that have been stolen that are presently in Satan's trophy room that need to be restored back, including mantles and heritage of generations. Because I believe when we see three generations coming together, Joshua, the next generation, and the next generation, we will see rolled into one all the heritage of all the previous generations that have never been released.
Oh, yes.
That's why we're going to see a massive change and a shift. Because it's not just what we have, it's all the things from all the previous generations which they did not get and did not receive, but it's going to be given to us, upon whom the ends of this age has come. You're authorized to call for the end of the slavery of the wilderness under the mediation of the old order.
Yes.
The mediatorial spirit needs to end.
Yes.
You're authorized to release the sound and frequency and the light of Jubilee.
Yes. Now,
release Jubilee. Freedom for the captives, cancellation of all debts. You're authorized to call for the cancellation of all spiritual debts and obligations that hold people in the wilderness. Because there are obligations, loyalty, control, fear, that hold people in that place because of what they've been covered with. And God is calling you to take responsibility now, because you've been called. You have this power and authorization to use this law in your life, around your life, and in every sphere that you have authority in. Do it on in heaven. Don't try and do this on earth. Don't try and go into in a church or something somewhere and just declare this, because you know there might be a scorching you out. But do it in heaven. And the sound you release, the frequency that you release, the light that you release will penetrate and go out, and it will call people. Because there are so many people out there that are actually all crying the same thing. There must be more than this.
Yes.
But they can't see it because they're covered with darkness. You're going to penetrate that darkness with light, because you're going to shine and radiate what the light is. That's what forerunners do. You're forerunners of what other people can experience and engage. So it is time for transfiguration of the sons of God, sonship, to embrace the creative light of sonship. This isn't to be done in created light. That's not where the light arises and shines from. We're not going to try and do things from an earthly perspective using what we already know, because what if we use what we already know, guess what? We'll get what we already got. And that isn't enough. However good some of the things that we've encountered are, they aren't enough to see a change and transformation in our lives, in our communities, because God wants to transform. Because we need to actually carry that light, walk the light beyond the veil, and radiate the light onto the earth. Because that was your role. Before you ever came to this earth, you were luminaries who were light bearers onto the first creation. And you should have then, from that light, become on that first creation, and it got spoiled because of the light bearer in heaven, Lucifer, who left his first estate. We need to restore it. Son, as the rhythm of my heartbeat increases, so will the intensity of the light that shines and radiates through the sons who walk in creative light beyond the torn veil of an open heaven. We are under an open heaven, dear. You can live under an open heaven. You know, everywhere I go, I live under an open heaven. You know, I'm useless if you want me to tell you what your atmospheres are like, because I've no idea, because I live under an open heaven. You know, wherever I go, people usually say, what's the atmosphere like? It's so heavier, isn't it? I'm like, no, it's great. It's all good. You know, those of you who've sort of been around me for the last couple of weeks, you know, it's always all good. You know, it's like, because I live under an open heaven, therefore I have access to all the good things that are there, and I live in that realm, and you can flow into this realm. And all of us can learn how to do this, but you have to firewalk with him. So don't take that lightly, because it won't be light. But it will be transformatory, and it will bring you into something new. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, I'm gonna leave it there. We'll break for 20 minutes. And I know that means we'll probably start again at 3:30.